Hey, this is Alex with the Unbiased Trailblazer podcast. If you haven't joined our Discord yet, you're missing out. Go to our Twitter at Unbiased Blazers. There's a link in our bio where you can join the Discord server from there. There's also links in every podcast description, so you can join from there as well. Now, let's get to the show. Rip City, baby. Rip City, what is going on? This is supposed to be the listener's podcast special, but it's not a listener's podcast. Well, I mean, I guess technically it is. We only have one listener here today. We had a plan for a couple others, but they couldn't make it. And actually, Fawad had a family issue pop up, so he can't make it either. So first and foremost, Fawad, we just want to give you a shout out. We hope everything's going good with your family. We're thinking of you, and I know you'll be back soon. But you heard him, two episodes ago, we got KJ back again. So tonight it's going to be me and KJ. KJ, how you doing tonight? That's first and foremost.
I'm doing all right. Basketball games are being played. I don't have to like troll Discord for basketball content anymore. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I got home. I was so excited to turn a basketball game on and watch it. And then my daughter was kind of feeling sick, so I didn't really get to watch too much of it. And then she started to feel better, and then all of a sudden it switched to she just wants to play constantly. So I didn't get to watch pretty much any of that first game. And as we're talking, the Warriors just now lifted their banner, and they're getting ready to play. So we're going to be talking while this game's going, and we're going to try to catch a little bit of both. So first and foremost, KJ, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming, joining this episode. I know we had plans for a couple other people as well. But you are here, and I'm glad you're here, and we have some stuff to talk about.
Yeah, it's just the listener podcast instead of the listeners podcast.
Yeah, take that plural away. Sure. So first and foremost, I know we had you on a couple episodes ago, and we were talking about kind of like our thoughts on everything. So we're gonna save that towards the end. But I wanted to talk to you about. A couple things. I was listening to the Trailcasters episode the other night, and they were talking about a couple lineup scenarios. And me and Fawad had talked about it a little bit, and I kind of wanted to talk with a group of everybody, but you are more than enough. So let's jump into this. Obviously, we know Josh Hart is the starting small forward as we speak. Fawad and I both had talked about it earlier before it had been decided who was going to be the starting small forward. And we had both kind of agreed that we thought Nasir was going to get the starting spot and that Hart was going to come off the bench. So we were surprised, pleasantly surprised that he's starting. But something the Trailcasters mentioned, and I agreed 100% with what they were saying, I feel like Josh Hart, even though he is the better player and the better option to come off, you know, to start, I feel like he's better suited coming off the bench, and I'm curious, before I get into it, I'm curious what your thoughts are on him coming off the bench or starting.
Yeah, and so first of all, shout out to Mr. Burkhart, who I believe just welcomed his third baby, so congratulations on that, sir. As to whether or not Josh Hart starts, I think, along with you guys, I had agreed that Hart made sense as the natural starting three. And so there was a debate as to who would you want coming off the bench. Like, they really got into the bench Ant versus bench Hart stuff on their show. And I don't know if you wanted to touch on that or not, but
I was planning on it. Yeah.
And so right now, I think Josh Hart has to be our starting small forward. Would the team be better if he were coming off the bench? Not really. But that says less about who Josh Hart is and more about who would be replacing him.
Yeah, and I want to give a shout out, like you said, to the Trailcasters. I proposed the question to them about Ant coming off the bench because I've been hearing it and on Reddit and on Twitter that people were saying that he needed to. And I'm not totally sold on that idea. I can see why people think that, but I wasn't totally sold on it. So I wanted to get their opinion on it as well. And like you said, they discussed Ant coming off the bench compared to Hart coming off the bench. And the biggest thing, and is what I agreed with them the most, is Hart is the type of player that he's like a Swiss Army knife. You can plug him in any position. He's going to excel, whatever, you know, whatever you ask him to do, he can do it. Ant, not so much. Ant, we've seen that he's a great catch and shoot player. And like the Trollcasters were saying in their podcast, if you have him coming off the bench, who are you having create offense for Simons to get these catch and shoot opportunities? Is it Nasir Little? Is it Sar? Is it Gary Payton? I mean, there's not really the best as far as playmaking goes on the bench side for Simons to excel at what he's very good at, which is catch and shoot threes. We obviously know that Simons can create for himself. He's not the, compared to CJ, I wouldn't say he's as good as CJ, but he can certainly do it to an extent. But his bread and butter is catch and shoot. It seems to me, at least. I don't know how you feel about it, but I agree with him. I think we're, in the long run, I think we probably would be a little bit better off with Hart coming off the bench. I still think just because he comes off the bench doesn't mean he's not playing a ton of minutes. I still think he's gonna play a ton of minutes, but I think he helps the bench unit more coming off the bench than he helps the starting unit. That's my opinion, at least for now. So I'm curious what you have to say.
So in an ideal world, I think of Anthony Simons a lot like I think of Jordan Poole. You have a team where you have an existing star point guard. He's very good at running a system. He's proven that he can be successful. And then you have this young up-and-coming guy that plays the same position, that does a lot of the same things. Now, there's only one Steph Curry, but Jordan Poole has studied under him for a number of years, and he's proven to be pretty damn good in his own right. But despite that, Jordan Poole didn't play a lot in the finals. And the reason for that is you can't play Jordan Poole and Steph Curry and have a good defense. Steve Kerr understood this. And when you have Steph Curry on your team, that means that Jordan Poole's coming off the bench. Probably why he's the odds-on favorite for Sixth Man of the Year this year. I view Damon Anthony in largely the same way. You have a star guard. He's really great. You have this other young guard that you got that sort of learned at his feet, can do a lot of the same things that he does. But playing them together is not going to allow you to have a good defense. And so Ant should come off the bench. The downside of that is we don't really have a starting caliber small forward on our roster right now. And so we have to start Ant because we can't start Nasir Little. You're not going to start Justice Winslow. Neither of those guys provide enough shooting. And so like in an ideal world on a Dame team, I think Simon is a super sub sixth man. But right now, like we don't have any forwards on the team. And so he has to start pretty much by default.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you to an extent. I think if we can get Little back to the way he was playing at the beginning of last year, I think he's serviceable at small forward. And then you have Josh Hart at the two, or maybe in some crazy world, we have Gary Payton as the two. I'm not a big fan of that, but I mean, I can see why people would want Simons coming off the bench, and I actually 100% agree with you as far as the defensive side goes. And comparing it to Curry and Poole, I 100% agree with you. It's our biggest issue, and it's something we're going to talk about here in just a couple minutes. But I think it's possible to have Little be a starting small forward, but the way he's played in preseason and the issues that he's been having, right now I would not want him starting.
I'm not a big Nasir guy. He has the game of a big and the body of a guard. So he doesn't have like the skills to take somebody off the dribble. Like he's not going to play point guard. He's a good energy guy, a good rebounder, but at 6'5", it's not like he's going to box out centers. And so I think that he is just that unfortunate tweener guy. His ceiling isn't very high just in general. He got himself a contract extension, we should mention, 4 years, $28 million. I can't even be mad at that deal, even though I wouldn't say that I'm a big Nas believer. Maybe he proves me wrong, and we get a great starter on a great discount. But I feel like he's going to be I described it this summer as that if Nasir Little is in your rotation, your team is not great. And if he's starting for you, then your team is pretty bad.
Well, I'm gonna agree with you here. That deal, whether or not you like, if you whether or not you believe in Little or not, that contract we got is so team friendly and such. I mean, $7 million a year for 4 years for a young player that has a chance to, you know, to get better each year and provide good, you know, help for us. When was the last time we could say that the Blazers made a good contract, like a super good contract? I know, you know, some of us agree Simons's contract was good and some don't, but I mean, you can't argue 4 for 28. Like, that is just max value for us, I feel.
Yeah, no, that's a super cheap deal. So even if he ends up becoming like an end of the bench guy in the future, it's a movable number if we need to move it. Mm-hmm. And so, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. So one other question I wanted to ask you. Do you believe Sar, even though injury, big man injured, of course, shocker there. Do you believe he is now the backup center to Nurk?
I don't think that Drew Eubanks did well in the summer league. But with Trenton hurt and Sar hurt, what's the name of the new two-way guy that we added?
Oh, I don't even remember. He's 7'1", but he's skinnier than Chet, it sounds like.
Yeah, it was another super thin, super tall, supposed three-point shooter, like our discount Holmgren. He may be in the rotation.
His name is John Butler.
John Butler, shut up. And by the way, if you're listening to this podcast and you know who John Butler is, like that's a level of NBA fandom that few people
props
reach.
To you. Props
like
to you.
If you had heard about that guy, you're smarter than I am. So good for you guys. But I mentioned the last time I was on that our lack of depth at center is going to be a huge sticking point. And so the fact that we're going to have to rotate between backup two-way guys in order to fill out our center rotation is going to be a problem.
Yeah, I mean, the whole issue is just that we have Nurkic and that's it. I mean, Eubanks, Sar, and now Butler. I don't think any team would be excited for them to be their backup center. So it's going to be very interesting. I know Sar, there was points in the preseason where Sar had some flashes of like, oh, maybe he could be he could play some spot minutes, but once again, it's preseason and it's
he looked pretty good, at least in comparison to Eubanks. So I think that will be his position going forward. What that says about the team overall, though, is another question.
that's exactly what I was trying to. Thank you for eloquently stating that, because that's what I was trying to say. It's not a very good situation to be in that's who your backup is, who you're having to decide between. One other thing I wanted to talk about. I was listening, I got off work on Monday, turn on the radio. I always listen to NBA radio or fantasy sports. So NBA radio's on, and right as I'm turning it on, I hear Blazers season preview. So I'm like, oh, okay, nice. So I'm sitting there listening to it. I drive home. I'm listening to it when I get home. And they were interviewing Cronin. They interviewed Lillard. They interviewed Simons. And I believe they even interviewed Billups, but he was kind of hard to hear. So if you guys did listen to it, you've already heard it. But there was a part in Cronin's interview I wanted to share. And I think this may be the first time in our podcast history that we're going to be putting in an audio clip here. So I wanted to share it with KJ at the same time so we can both kind of react to it. And just it kind of helped me a little bit, because I know our last episode I was all down in the dumps and thinking we are just toasted and this season is already over. But it's something that it kind of reminded me and refreshed my memory of like what the plan is. So I'm going to play this real quick and then we're going to talk about it.
You and Chauncey and that coaching staff and your front office talk a lot about that, but what do you think will be successful for you guys this year? What do you see when you look down, you can say, hey, we're making progress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's hard. Like you, like you said, as a parent, you want to, and you know they're capable of it, you know, and you just want to say, okay, you guys just do it. But I think for us, it's been, let's be patient with them, knowing that there's a lot of diverse skill sets that have to merge together, and there's a lot of mentality rewiring that we have to enact in order to play Chauncey's brand of ball, where, you know, there's a lot of guys that just haven't played for Chauncey yet, and okay, they don't know exactly what he wants at this stage, 3 or 4 weeks into the preseason. So we talk a lot about just being patient, and with that, success for us is showing growth. Like, if on a day-to-day basis we're seeing real progress to the style of play that we're hoping to achieve, then for us that's a win. We're, you know, I mean, it probably sounds empty, but for us, we don't want to focus on outcomes. We want to focus on improvement and going in the right direction. And, you know, this preseason, we haven't played very well.
You can say that again, Joe.
Yeah, right? So I kind of edited down a little bit because there was a lot of talk in between, but that was the main point, is that he was saying our biggest concern isn't necessarily wins and losses right now. It's that we're showing improvement towards a goal that they have in mind. And it does remind me of when the season was getting ready to start, you know, Joe Cronin made we're not done yet. So there's still moves to be made. And to me, it kind of just kind of gave me a second, a refresher, to just be like, you know what, the plan was never to be like a contending team this year. That was never the expectations, and it shouldn't have been. And I know we get caught up as the season starts that we're all like, oh, we're going to be. Why shouldn't have been that our expectation?
You have Damian Lillard on your team. You have maybe one of the 10 best basketball players in the world in his prime. Why aren't you trying to be competitive?
Well, I think we're trying to be competitive, but I think the biggest problem is our defensive inefficiencies are killing us.
Our backup center is Olivier Saar. How are we trying to be competitive?
Well, I think that's where he comes in with this, you know, we're not done making moves yet. So this is how I wanted to say. It kind of brought me back down to earth, where I kind of expected us not to be – I expected us to make the playoffs, but not do much after that. And I was getting so upset with preseason, like seeing how bad we were playing. And if the way we were playing in preseason, I'll be honest with you, I don't even know if we make the playoffs. The defense was just terrible. But I get what you're saying, KJ, and I 100% agree. If you have Damian Lillard, your team should be that's a team that should be trying to compete for a championship. And I know Damian wants to compete for a championship, and I'm sure every player on the team wants to. But I agree with you. Our roster isn't necessarily there at that point. And there is moves that need to be made. And I think it just kind of helped bring me back to earth, knowing we still need to make moves. There's still, you know, like he said in that interview, players haven't really played with Chauncey in his system. So there's going to be some development that needs to happen. And I think we made a good step with Jeremy Grant. I think we made a good step with Josh Hart. Now it's just building on that. And if by some miracle we make a big move this year, I will be cheering along with everybody. But it kind of brought me back down to earth. So go ahead, KJ.
All right. So there's so much to unpack here. And so I'll give Joe Cronin credit. He's being honest up front. He's not trying to polish the turd like old Shea would.
Yes.
And talk about how great the team is. Obviously, it's not. Obviously, he knows that, and he's being upfront about that ahead of time. Respect, Joe. Respect. But the fact of the matter is, the team is worse than when he took over. The team is worse than when he took over because of the decisions that he's made. And this whole we have to get Chauncey's guys thing, or we have to play in his system and his style of play. Why the fuck do we care about Chauncey's style of play? Like, what evidence do we have that the team that just went to the playoffs 10 years in a row needs to dramatically change everything behind a rookie head coach who had a terrible defense even before Damian Lillard got hurt? I keep hearing this. We have to go get Chauncey's guys. We have to go get Chauncey's guys. It's Chauncey's style. And Chauncey's a defensive coach. Well, Chauncey just gave us the 27th best defense in the NBA. And it looked worse in preseason. We gave up 40 points in the first half to the Kings. And then we gave up 40 points in the first half to the Jazz, who were trying to lose. And so why is Chauncey's guys a good thing? Can someone explain that to me, please?
I mean, you're not going to get any rebuttal from me on that. I mean, I've not been a fan of Chauncey's idea of having Nurk blitz the screens and run out and try to guard these little guards and, you know, cover for a quick couple seconds, that puts him in bad positions on the defensive end. The defense has always been our biggest issue these last, I don't even know, 4 years, 5 years. And it doesn't look like it's getting better. And yes, we've gotten better defensive-minded players, but the system is what's needing help. And I'm not 100% sold on Chauncey, but I'm also not 100% on the we need to move on from Chauncey. But I don't know. Preseason was very – and I know it's preseason. I know those games don't necessarily matter. But the fact that those games looked like we are the worst team in the NBA is not very promising. And I'm willing to give Chauncey the benefit of the doubt and see what can happen in the first 20, 30 games. But it's going to go south real quick if things don't turn around, because – The fan base was already not a fan of what happened last year. So now this year you're going to have a healthy Dame, and you're going to have Jeremy Grant and Nurk and Simons and Hart, and it's going to be just as bad or worse, or, you know, bad still. The fan base isn't going to be happy. I'm not going to be happy. It sucked watching all those games last year. I know Dame wasn't happy about it. So, I mean, I'm with you. I get it. And I'm not 100% sold that the whole issue is that we have to go get Chauncey's guys, like you said and like they've said. So it's a cultural mindset. They're gonna have to really like buy into the defensive end. The offense has never been an issue, and I don't know why it seems like that's what the Blazers try to do, is keep the offense and try to build on the offense, when that's never been the issue. We've never had an issue on that end. So do you have anything else you want to add on that?
Yeah, and so there's that this other trope that I've heard from Cronin, the we're not done, there are moves to make. Of course there are moves to make. Every team is going to look to improve their team and their chances in the future at the trade deadline. The I'm planning on doing something at the trade deadline is not an excuse for making mistakes up until now. And also, what are the moves? This time last year, what were we talking about? We were talking about a CJ McCollum trade. We were talking about, can we get Ben Simmons? We're talking about, can we get Jeremy Grant? What can we move on from? And so it's not like these things just materialize out of thin air. We have an idea what the range of possibilities are well in advance. And so what's the move that takes this team into contention? Like, what is the lever we have to pull? Like, who are we getting and what are we getting for them? That's what I don't understand.
And that's where I'm at, too. I don't know. I mean, let me ask you this, KJ. Say we make the trade for CJ for Ben Simmons. Do you think our team is in a better position now than it is right now?
Absolutely. So I think the reported offer was CJ McCollum, three picks, three swaps. Let's say for the sake of argument that we had just taken that trade straight up and we didn't try to negotiate on picks. We just have three picks, three swaps. You have a starting five of Damian Lillard, Norman Powell, Robert Covington, Ben Simmons, and Yusuf Nurkic. On the bench, you have Anthony Simons, Nasir Little, Larry Nance Jr. That's a pretty good eight guys to start with. That maybe doesn't make us necessarily a championship contender, but it gets us up there. And when you have a guy like Damian Lillard on your team, you need to take advantage of it. Guys like Dame don't come along every day or even every decade. And so the fact that we're trying to thread the needle right here, and we're supposedly building around Dame, but he's the only guy on our team over 30. Does that make sense to you? There would have been issues with Ben Simmons. Yeah, he was hurt last year, but you know what? Dame was hurt last year too. So we could have sat the team, sucked at the end of the year, get the lottery pick from Nance, and go into this season with Ben Simmons on our team. Are Ben Simmons and Yusuf Nurkic going to have spacing issues? Yes. Do you maybe move on from Nurk in that scenario and try to get somebody like Christian Wood or Miles Turner? Maybe. But if Draymond Green and Kevon Looney can start for a championship team at the beginning of the season, then I think Ben Simmons and Yusuf Nurkic could have worked together. And so absolutely, I think that, that's a trade we should have taken. And see, that's the thing. That's the bugaboo. Everybody's got used to being mad at Neil O'Shea, and Neil O'Shea stupid this, and Neil O'Shea stupid that, and the Evan Turner contract. But the real thing, the actual problem with Neil O'Shea is that he was too attached to CJ McCollum. He refused to trade him, and he insisted on playing two small guards in the backcourt that couldn't defend. That was never going to work. We saw the limitations of that when we got all the way to the Western Conference Finals. The eventual Finals MVP, Kevin Durant, plays zero games. And what happens? We get swept in four games, and Steph Curry averages 36 points a game because you're trying to guard him with Damian Lillard and you're trying to guard him with CJ McCollum. That's not going to work. And the reason that I've been down on Cronin since he got here, and the reason that I'm down on Billups, is because what's their replacement? Yes, we finally traded CJ. Hooray! What do? We go get another small point guard that can't defend. We give him $20 million and put him into the starting lineup. It's the same shit. It's the same ideas. It didn't work then. It didn't work in the preseason. It's not going to work this season. And so as long as they insist on not putting any defense in the backcourt, this team is going nowhere.
I hear you. And this is something that I've talked about in the past too. This notion that we can build for the future while we're contending, it doesn't work. You have to have a contending team already, like the Warriors, to be able to build for the future while you contend. We don't have that. We can't be trying to look to the future with not trading these assets with Simons and Nasir and all the, you know, all these younger players.
And Sharp. And how are you building around Damian Lillard if you have a top 10 player in his prime and a lottery pick that you spend on a 19-year-old?
Yep.
Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
That has been one of my biggest complaints, is I hate this idea that we're going to try to do both, and you can't do it. You can't. People try to use the Golden State Warriors as an example. The Warriors are already an established championship team. They didn't need to add pieces to make themselves better like we're having to do, where we're trying to add pieces that to make us better, but we're doing it with younger guys that's timeline doesn't match up with Lillard. And I'm with you. The running it back with no defense on the one or two spot, it's getting old. And yeah, it's great seeing 30, 40 point games from Lillard and Simons, but I would much rather have Dame and some defensive minded guard playing two that's locking somebody up and scores 5 points. Like, I mean, I would rather have my two guards score 5 points and play stellar defense on the best player on the team than have two guys go for 20 each, or, you know, 30 and 20. So I'm with you.
We very well may have that guy. I liked bringing in Josh Hart. He's exactly the type of guy that we needed next to Dame since we lost Wesley Matthews.
I agree.
Gary Payton. I'm not sure if his offense is going to survive outside of Golden State, but he's one of the premier perimeter defenders in the world.
Yep.
And so we may very well have that guy. But the problem is the team is so shoddily constructed that even when you have the guys, you can't play them. Gary Payton's going to come back from his surgery in a few weeks. Gary Payton's going to wind up starting at the three, and then we're going to have three 6-3 players out there again, and we're going to get killed on the glass, and we're going to get killed on defense, and it's the same stuff. It's the same stuff over and over again.
Which I have been on this train for a while. I think if our ultimate goal is to win now, then Simons cannot be on our team if that's the goal. Because I don't see any other asset that we can trade aside from Josh Hart that would have value to make our team better and help on the defensive side. Simons is, to me, the piece that we have to move from, or else we're just going to be stuck in this CJ 2.0.
And I would agree with you with that, but the thing is, he's so much harder to move now than he was last year.
Yep.
Last year, when he was a $4 million expiring contract, imagine what the Boston Celtics would have looked like if they had Anthony Simons coming off their bench instead of that guy. instead of Naismith. Mm-hmm. Imagine what the Miami Heat would have looked like if they could replace injured Kyle Lowry minutes with healthy Anthony Simons minutes. Like, his trade value was enormous last year. But did we try to get anything back for him at all? No, he's the future. We got to save him. He's really good. We got a really good guard that can score off the dribble and not play any defense. We definitely need to invest in that, right?
And that's the problem. He's the future when you have the one of the best. I'm just going to say this. To me, Lillard's the greatest Blazer of all time. I know that's some people disagree. When you have the greatest Blazer of all time playing for your team and he's still within his prime time, prime years, you can't be thinking, oh, here's our future. Like, there's Simons. Let's keep him for the future. Like, you got to cap. If your goal is to win a championship, which it should be, you got to capitalize on Dame's time here.
Yeah, the Warriors can do that because they already have three titles in the bank. They have the championship core there, and they can afford to pivot to the future now. Also, they can afford to pay $500 million a year in payroll, which is important as well. But the Warriors can afford to do that. The Blazers can't. And that's another comparison I hear. Why is everybody saying that Dame is washed when Curry is the same age and he looks great? The difference is Steph Curry's title window has been open for 8 years. We're not saying that Damian Lillard is too old to win a championship this year. We're saying that we should have started 10 years ago with this guy. And so you can't start your title window when you're 35. It doesn't work.
Well, look, first and foremost, you just brought it up. The Warriors are willing to pay. They're willing to pay for a championship. When we had Paul Allen, were willing to pay, but we had a GM that wasn't willing to make the moves to try to make that happen. Now we have an owner that all she cares about is making sure those books look good for whoever she sells the team to, even though she says she's not going to. That hurts us. Having an owner that doesn't have the same mindset as a championship team does. And like you said, the Warriors are paying a ton of money because of the repeater tax. And here we are getting under the tax and trying to stay under the tax, and all these moves are financially, you know, made for the financial.
We have to stretch Didi Lazuya.
I forgot he was on our team. It's just, we're in a bad position, unfortunately, and it's going to take, I mean, like I said, I will be the first one to cheer along with everybody if things start to look good, but I'm a little nervous. The outlook's a little worrisome, and I'm afraid of this mindset of trying to build for the future while trying to contend to when you don't have it in the first place. So, KJ, you mentioned this, and I'm willing to talk about it. Here we are talking about it right now, so let's just jump into it. You said you had a doom and gloom, mayday, mayday, everything's failing, everything's wrong. You had a idea you wanted to kind of talk about. Let's do it.
All right. So just to be clear, this is not something that I want to talk about.
I agree.
This is not something that I am wishing into the universe, but this is something that I honestly think is going to happen. So you have the Portland Trailblazers franchise, what was it? 2 years ago, Damian Lillard comes out and says, this team isn't good enough. I want the team to get better. We signed Cody Zeller and Tony Snell and go into the offseason. Lillard gets hurt. Neal gets fired. A whole bunch of stuff happens over the offseason. We are looking in at the season again. Now, the Blazers have played 0 minutes of basketball in the regular season. And maybe it's premature, but just based on what the team looks like on paper, what the team looks like in practice so far, what the team looked like last year, and what the team has looked like in past years, I don't think this is going to work. Like, the roster as constructed isn't built to contend. Here in about 25 games, you're going to have Damian Lillard break Clyde Drexler's scoring record. He'll be the highest scoring Portland Trailblazer of all time. That he will have a $120 million extension in the bag, and the Blazers are going to be below 500. They're probably going to be significantly below 500. We're going to be fighting for the play-in if we're lucky. And so the question becomes, if you're the Portland Trail Blazers, do you want to pay Damian Lillard $40 million a year? Do we want to get into the best draft in recent memory? Based on the way that the team looks right now, I don't believe that management has been trying to contend with Dame. I think that they're ready to rebuild. And I call it a Canadian divorce. We're just in a scenario where both parties, Dame and the Trailblazers, don't think this is going to work out, but neither one of them wants to be the first one to say it. And so Dame's got his extension. He passes Drexler on the list, and we're looking at a Damian Lillard trade. I'm not saying that Dame is going to ask out. I'm sure it'll be mutual. And so Dame is going to want to go to a team where he can contend and try to win a championship, bonus points if it's close to home. The Blazers are going to want to do right by Dame, because you can't just ship him off to Oklahoma City or Houston or something where the team is going to be terrible. And so you're going to need a team with future draft assets. You're going to need a team that can match $40 million NBA contract. And I think that Russell Westbrook is going to get traded for Damian Lillard and two first round picks. That's the worst case scenario.
Oh, the fire has been brought. So you're predicting, if things really do go south, that Dame will be in an LA jersey.
I think that's how this goes.
Well, you heard it here first. KJ is announcing it. If things go south, Dame to LA. And you know what? As much as I agree with you, is it's not something that I want. It's not something that I even want to think about or consider. That is a possibility. It's not a crazy thought. We get Westbrook to cover the salary, and we have two first round picks. They're most likely going to be later in the draft. With a team,
yeah, you get
LeBron
the unprotected 27, you get the unprotected 29. Lillard is likely out of the league at that point.
That's true. That's true.
The Lakers get to make the most out of LeBron's contention window by having a player that actually makes sense with them, and they get off of Russ's money, which they really need to do. And so I don't want this to happen. I'm not going to be happy if it happens, but I feel like that's how this ends.
Because obviously, if that happens, we, as a fans of the Blazers, we're going to support Lillard. It's going to be so hard.
Are we?
I mean, I would.
Are we, though?
I would. This man has done so much for us in 10 years. If he gets traded, I do not hate him. I totally understand, and I don't blame him. And he's been more than loyal to us, and we have not return the favor necessarily, so it'd be hard to root for the Lakers. It would.
There are 28 other teams in the league where I will go out and buy the Damian Lillard jersey, but a yellow one with purple numbers.
I'm there. I don't think I could buy a jersey, but I definitely think, like, in the playoffs, if they're in there and we're not, I would probably be pulling for Dame, just the same that I was pulling for CJ last year once they made it. And when Matthews was playing for the Bucks and for the Lakers, I mean, not necessarily the Lakers as much, but I mean, it's going to be, I hope your prediction is wrong, because So do I. I don't.
Let me be perfectly clear. I'm not wishing this to happen, but I think that it will.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I think it is a possibility. I would not rule it out. Let's put it that way. I would be surprised, but I also wouldn't be surprised at the same time. So it's a scenario that I don't want to have us have to deal with. So hopefully it doesn't. Way to bring the podcast down in darkness.
I warned you, man.
You did. That is fair. He did warn me. He said it's an ugly one, and he was right. It was ugly. It was worse than I actually thought. Honestly, I was like, just expecting you to say, like, oh, he'll get traded for so-and-so, not he's going to go to the Lakers and we're going to get Westbrook. And, oh, you really did bring it. Well, KJ, this podcast. We had a couple other things that we were going to talk about in case it was a short one. I don't think it was a short one. I think we're getting close to 40 minutes here. So I just want to say, first off, once again, this is your second time now. I appreciate you so much joining and talking with me. I know Fawad's not here, but we appreciate it. Even though there wasn't multiple listeners in here, I'm glad that you came in and talked with us again.
Well, after that, I think I'm going to need a drink and a shower. Thanks for having me on, man.
All right. Everyone that's listening, I appreciate it. If you guys aren't in our Discord, make sure you let us know you want to get an invite to the Discord. We'll get you in here. Have a good night. Thank you for listening. And as always, Rib City, baby. Thanks to My Life Pursuing for the music used on the intros and the outros of this podcast. You can check them out on all major streaming platforms at My Life Pursuing.